Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, we'll be talking about, well, Real Science Radio will air this week in Portland, Oregon. And that is because Crawford Broadcasting, the network that owns Denver's KLTT Radio, the 50,000-watt blowtorch here in Colorado, they have a station in Portland. And talking with them about the amazing scientist we have on Real Science Radio, the idea arose, well, what if during the pandemic, what if we do a weekly special edition of Real Science Radio to air in Portland, where Crawford Broadcasting had an available time slot, and to even offer that to other Crawford stations if they happen to have an evening or a weekend slot for that half-hour program. So you will be able to listen to that on our website at rsr.org in just about an hour from now. But if you're listening live in Denver, when Bob and Yart Live ends, you could just stay tuned in and you will hear the special episode of Real Science Radio that's scheduled now to air in Portland. So that's exciting. I'd like to tell you a little bit more about what we cover on that show that we just finished producing just minutes ago. Also, today I want to talk more about CBS, their fake news on hydroxychloroquine. It's the same info, but it really makes me angry what they and most of the mainstream media have done. So I'd like to vent more about the alleged journalist that worked for CBS, and I'll read for you a screenshot that my wife Cheryl took of this fake news. And when, for example, Fox News Channel, when they've been reporting on this particular instance of fake news from the mainstream media, they've pointed out everybody, all the outlets that reported this chloroquine news, that it killed a man in a fake news way, so irresponsible, but they didn't have the CBS headline. And CBS was the most egregious of all of them. So we don't want CBS to escape. So you can find that screenshot, in fact, on our website, kgov.com/CBS fake, CBS hyphen fake. Also, I'd like to do a reading Drudge headlines. You know, the report formerly known as Drudge. We would like to go through that as an exercise from a Christian worldview, including during this pandemic, but generally reading headlines and deciding what may be worth reading, what's not worth reading. Then our telethon, wow, guys, thank you. Our goal, our March 2020 telethon goal of $40,000. We have what, one more day today and tomorrow? We are at $36,300. And we have an incredible matching offer. Incredible. That if it comes through, but there's sort of strings attached, I'll tell you about it. It's a $10,000 matching offer, and if it came through, we'd be at $56,000 of our $40,000 goal. And boy, will that help us, everyone here at the BEL Studios, Real Science Radio, Theology Thursday, in encouraging us and helping us to pay the bills that, as you know, they come relentlessly, like you're on a train on a railroad track and you're looking at the telephone poles, and they come one after another after another. They keep coming and they come faster and faster. That's what it's like to get bills, especially when you run on a shoestring budget. And we hope that the Lord, when we see him, will say, well done, my good and faithful servants, because we hope that we have been good stewards of the dollars that come in from our audience. We have no foundation behind us. We have no mega church. It's just us, you, and the Lord. That's who it is. And I'd like to tell you, those who donate it, you know, I read their name, last initial, and city. I'd like to get to that in a little bit. And I'll tell you the strings attached, sort of strings attached, to the $10,000 matching offer. And then Denver Bible Church yesterday, we did our second sermon on the coronavirus. Last week's sermon, we're a small homeschool church. Every family homeschools. We have no government school families at our church. I think, for one, it becomes very uncomfortable because it's wrong to put your kids in government school if you have any choice whatsoever. Some people have no choice, virtually. But we are a homeschool church and a small church. And so last week's coronavirus sermon is up to, what, 1,300 views. And in 24 hours from yesterday, the current sermon is about 550 views. So we're thankful, those of you who have watched these, encouraged us with comments on YouTube beneath the sermon, and those who have posted, emailed, spread this around to others. I got to talk to a guy in Albania who had just watched the sermon and was so thrilled. His wife runs 5 radio stations there, just north of Greece, between Greece and Italy. So just wonderful. Okay. Now, first about CBS and their fake news on hydroxychloroquine. Donald Trump, in his daily epidemic, then pandemic press conference, he mentioned hydroxychloroquine. And I remember being surprised, and I thought, wow, he pronounced that correctly, and he presented it in a responsible way from a proper perspective. And I thought, wow, I'm not a big fan of Donald Trump, but that was really well done how he did that. So the media immediately became apoplectic and went nuts, because that's what they do with everything that Trump says or does, because they have hopes that every single thing will be the last thing he does, the thing that brings down his presidency. So they went nuts, all the media trying to pronounce it. They couldn't pronounce chloroquine, let alone hydroxychloroquine. It was pretty funny. Sean Hannity must have pronounced it a dozen different ways, all wrong, for the first week or two. Chloroquine was popular. Hydrochloroquine, instead of hydroxychloroquine. Well, the day before Donald Trump mentioned hydroxychloroquine, a malaria drug that's very safe, that very well may be a major resource in fighting this pandemic, the early signs were positive, and so it's good to be hopeful. You might be in a war against the Germans and things might look really bad in World War II, but you might be hopeful about a certain development. It's not wrong to have hope and to see possibilities. It's good. You don't want to lie to yourself, but hope is good. God is a God of hope. And by the way, if you doubt that, you could go to a list of Bible verses. It's at opentheism.org/verses. So fabulous. So the news media wanted everyone to think that Trump was irresponsibly prescribing a drug to anyone who might think they might catch the coronavirus. Now, how absurd was that? It was absurd on its face from the beginning. But then, in Arizona, a man who was cleaning an aquarium, he noticed one of the cleaning products is chloroquine. Now, chloroquine is not a drug. It's a chemical for cleaning an aquarium. It kills parasites. It's very effective. This man being a fool. I mean, normally the liberals would laugh about a news story like this, and they'd call it the Darwin Awards, and they would say that this guy won the award, Survival of the Fittest. He won one of the Darwin Awards. Normally, that's what they would do. But in this case, here's how CBS News, their news, reported under the CBS and Associated Press label. Here's how they reported it. Quote, Arizona man dies after taking drug touted as virus treatment. Now, how's that? Was that a drug? It's a cleaning product. CBS and all of your alleged journalists over there and your editors and everybody involved in putting out a headline on the world's number one news story. It's a cleaning product. It's not a drug. And they literally are attempting to blame this on Donald Trump telling the world about hydroxychloroquine. So then we can foresee what will happen 1,000 times over when COVID-19 patients get prescribed hydroxychloroquine. All those who've seen this headline and heard the news, because it was reported by most of the mainstream news in this fear-mongering way, many of them will be afraid. Didn't this kill somebody? Many of them will waste time in the physician's office asking their doctors, is this safe? I heard it killed somebody. And during a pandemic is the worst time to waste a physician's precious time. So the mainstream media is filled with alleged journalists. You could also call them creeps. And this is a perfect example. And we mentioned how Google, on your cell phone, if you go to Google something and you expect just the Google search bar, or you go to google.com, beneath the search bar are headlines. And that's because Google wants to steer conservatives and Christians away from the news they select. And they'll put headlines that are very appealing to you because they know you better than you know yourself. They want to steer you to the news outlets that they prefer, for example, CBS. And CBS reports fake news. And the news that we would recognize as valid, let's say it's news reporting on the dangers of the homosexual lifestyle. Some science paper even published that against political correctness warns people about the homosexual lifestyle, Google would see that as fake news. Or research talking about spanking and how kids who are spanked are happier, more wholesome, generally succeed far better in life than kids who are not spanked. Google would view that as fake news. All the discoveries of dinosaur soft tissue, they would tend to see that as fake news. All the discoveries against the Big Bang, if it's reported that there's tremendous evidence that the Big Bang is not a valid scientific theory, they would report that as fake news. Evidence that the Bible is true, yet again, they would view that as fake news. So be careful who is recommending how you spend your precious time in consuming news, because we all have only a limited amount of time. And if I intentionally go where I want to go to get my news, that is far better than if I am unwittingly spending my time where Google or Facebook news, where they want me to spend my time. All right, today's Real Science Radio special edition on the coronavirus, brought to you by Crawford Broadcasting. What a neat opportunity as a public service for this pandemic. The Crawford family of radio stations is sponsoring this Real Science Radio presentation of the issues of the day. On today's program that'll air in Portland on AM 1330 KKPZ, powerful station, great footprint for its coverage map, but we don't yet know what time or even what day, should be early this week. And here in Denver, like I said, it will air immediately after this Bob and Yurt Live program here on this same radio station, AM 670 KLTT. And both programs will be uploaded to our website, KGOV.com. Now, the RSR program that will air right after this in Denver, it is an interview with molecular biologist, many of you know him, Dr. Kevin Anderson. But before he comes on, I talk about what is this common human phenomenon that we are all so critical, right? Everyone's a critic. Of course, we see that. And all the anger and even whining about decisions being made by those who are in charge right now, not only here, but many around the world. And I think about, we once did a sermon at Denver Bible Church called Spare God Another Wine Machine. When people are in their car and they don't like how somebody is driving and they're griping. I'm not talking about a life or death situation, but just whining and griping. And griping like it is so easy to do about almost anything and almost all the time. And it's not exactly inspiring for other people to hear that. Now, there might be somebody like Don Rickles. Remember Don Rickles? Comedian. Nobody in our studio. Our studio audience has dwindled since the stay-at-home order. We've got three people here. Hi, guys. Nobody remembers Don. Oh, one. Are you in your 60s? 80s. Okay, 80s. We've got somebody in their 80s, and I'm in my 60s. We remember Don Rickles, and he insulted everybody. He was constantly angry, and it was his shtick, and in a way, it made him lovable. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just being angry, whining, critical all the time. People loved that sermon, Spare God Another Wine Machine. Because if you're a Christian, he lives in you. You're in your car, you think you're all alone driving somewhere, and God is there with you, and he actually would like to fellowship with you and your thoughts. But it's got to be a drain on him, a drag, because the Bible says when we sin, we grieve him. So certainly when we're whining, we can't be pleasing him and blessing him. So I think about what the world would be like, or our own country, if I were in charge, or you, whoever complains a lot about everything going on, if you were in charge. And so tens of thousands of people, life and death, it is in some significant way in your hands based on decisions you make. And whether the economy is harmed, and whether long-term that kills more people than the virus would have killed, it's hard to know. But whatever you do, whatever you decide, will everyone be so happy because you now, the fount of all goodness, wisdom, and truth, you are the one making the decisions. If I were the one making the decisions, I think people would be more angry and more hateful at me than they are at Donald Trump. But if you were the one making the decisions, do you think there would be fewer people griping? What do you think? Those of us who think that, oh, people would just love it if I were the one making the decisions, and that's a little bit delusional. Even if your decisions were better or marginally better, because the whole world has been trained. Everybody's a critic. Everybody whines. Everybody's angry. All the time. And that's the way comedy is. You know, comedy turned back about 30 years ago to be cool and to be funny. You had to be a jerk and you had to be angry and you had to wear your insults on your sleeves. It wasn't always like that. I mean, there was some of that, But it became, the industry became like a cesspool of ugliness. So that's how the world has been trained to respond like that. And I think Christians, we could be more humble and consider that if we were the ones in charge, it very well may be that more people might die and there might be more misery than what ends up actually happening. And that should give us a degree of patience and respect and humility and so on. Okay, so the Real Science Radio special episode airing just after this program in Denver and sometime real soon in Portland, Oregon, and elsewhere, perhaps, on the Crawford Broadcasting family of stations. On that program, we have Dr. Kevin Anderson with the Creation Research Society, and we discuss the origin of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, right? This particular coronavirus. And did it originate in a lab as a biological weapon? So that's something many people fear. And with Kevin being a molecular biologist, it is good to talk through that with him. And there is powerful evidence right now that's being reported in the science journals and in the more science-leaning websites that no biological weapons lab in the world could have created this for various reasons. So we'll discuss that briefly. Also, by the way, that's in our sermon from yesterday, because people around the world are afraid. One of our listeners, their family, they have parents who live in St. Petersburg, Russia, and they are afraid because they have heard that this was created as a biological weapon, and they realize living in a socialist country that has national health care, they realize that because of that, and because they are in their late 60s, if they got COVID-19, they expect they would get no medical treatment. They expect they would be convalesced. That's it. They'd be put in a bed and folks would wait for them to die. And so they're afraid, in addition to the fact that there's a pandemic, they're afraid because they think it's a weapon that also could be targeted at them. And the Bible does command us, do not bear false witness. Right? Don't bear false witness. So it's one thing to begin to suspect, hey, did ISIS, did the terrorists do this? Hey, did Iran do that? Hey, did the Chinese, did the Chi-Coms, did they do this? And you could say, you know, I wonder if this might be true. But once powerful evidence comes out that this is a naturally occurring virus strain, then you are bearing false witness if you say the Chinese government created this as a biological weapon and unleashed it intentionally or accidentally. Now, they did a lot wrong. And in our sermon from yesterday, we lay out the case against China's government in, I think, a very powerful way. And by the way, the sermon includes a 3-minute video clip, an animation of what happens inside our cells. It's all truly stunning. It's from Illustra Media. They gave us permission to use this clip in the Denver Bible Church sermon. And what an honor, because that's now on YouTube. And last week's coronavirus sermon spread far and wide beyond Denver Bible Church. And this one is being viewed at double the rate of last week's sermon. So people are sharing it, posting it on Facebook, Twitter. And of course, you could email the link, call a friend and tell them how to find it. In fact, just go to kgov.com/coronavirus, one word, and it's right there, kgov.com/coronavirus. We also talk about, if this is naturally occurring, is it evidence for evolution? Why is it not evidence for evolution? We discuss that. And then, why is there disease in a world created perfectly by God? That's an important question. People think because there's disease, that's evidence that God does not exist. And that's because they haven't read the Bible, especially they haven't read Genesis chapter 3. And then we talk about the difference between COVID-19 and the common cold and why there is that difference. So what an interesting time that was. Now, our telethon at $36,300, we're so close to $40,000. Please, if you can help, you could call. Connie's around here quite often, 303-463-7789. That's our studio line, 303-463-7789, or 1-800-8-NYART. Also, you could go to our website, kgov.com, and click on the store. You could make a one-time donation, an automatic monthly donation. Wow, that'd be incredible. You know, even the donations to Denver Bible Church have been coming in from people that never knew about our ministry on that website, denverbiblechurch.org, and that is so helpful. Some people there sign up for a weekly, like it's their weekly church service. They sign up for a weekly contribution to Denver Bible Church, or monthly or once. And then some people subscribe to the sermons and get them on DVD or Blu-ray. Do we have them download, sermon downloads? We have that also. So folks who have given, Michael B. from Fishers, Michael, thank you so much. Fred F. from Naples, Florida. Thank you, Fred, Big Fred. Maynard E. from Granger, Indiana. Chris B. from Colorado Springs. Thank you, Chris. Doug and Jenna K. from Aurora. Wow, guys, you're amazing. I got to stop thanking each person individually. Robert B. from Riverton, Illinois. Nick R. from Ames, Iowa. We used to be on the radio in Ames for a couple years. The good old days. Bob and Yurt Live, we used to air in 80 cities from Honolulu to Orlando. And now we're on the Denver blowtorch of Crawford Broadcasting, and thanks to the internet, around the country and even around the world. Janet W. from North Carolina. Wow, Janet, you helped us really surge ahead in the telethon. Rafia L. from Gary, Indiana. Randy H. from Indianapolis. James M. from Eaton, Colorado. Will from Dorado, Puerto Rico. Maynard E. from Granger. Maynard, thank you. Maynard keeps giving. Maynard, you got to cut that out. Joanne C. from Australia. Wow, what a large order, too. Jason H., Indianapolis. Andrew W., Strasburg, Colorado. Sharon S., Fort Smith, Arkansas. Dale F., Wellsville, Pennsylvania. Michael H., Antioch, Tennessee. And Anthony W., Carterville, Indiana. And I saved Art for last. He's the owner of the Dakota Ridge Ranch in Morrison, Colorado. And he has offered a $10,000 matching grant with strings. And the reason I said with strings, remember we had last week a $7,000 grant? And people, a composite gift from a dozen people or more, you add it up, and if it totaled $7,000, we'd get that $7,000, and that happened. Thank you, all of you. But Dakota Ridge Ranch, they said, here's the deal. If one person will give $10,000 in a single gift, then we'll match it with another 10. And that's extraordinary. So that's what blows the roof off of the telethon. Oh, yeah, and Art said, and it can't be that Randy guy in California, because he knows a dear friend of the show who's traveled with us everywhere around the world. And so he said, not Randy, anybody else.